All right, folks, we are lecture 2, 61C, getting excited. You're going to have your clickers out. We are starting fast and furious with the clickers. The news of the day, there is one handout. It is Matt. Question. I don't think there's any frequency. I just turn them on. Don't change the frequency. My thing says 900 megahertz, so whatever it is, keep it there. One handout, it contains in the back, if you look, these beautifully written and drawn images to teach you what we're learning today in cartoon form. This is a master's project from Katrina Yim, and it all started with Katrina, one of my students in 61C, who started sketching and drawing. She took a course called UC Bug. She loved it. I said, you know, I have this possibility. She kept drawing. She drew tutorials for fun, for other students. We said, you know, we can make a master's project out of this. We did, and you are now reaping the fruits of that labor, and Katrina's awesome, so go Katrina. There's a great book, we're talking about number representation today. There's a great book, The Universal History of Numbers by Georges Ifra, and it's like 1,000 pages, delightful. All right, whenever you see, in the future, whenever you see this image in the top right, that means we are voting, so get them out. Here we go. In review, we've seen an amazing change in technology between disk space, the CPU performance, memory size. Moore's law, you remember, is doubling the number of transistors every 2 years. Five parts of all computers. This is the tattoo you're all supposed to get. And now, clickers out. I want you to vote on what will be the most important part of the computer in the future. How about that? All right, I will start the voting and go, and I'm receiving votes, and it's working, and I'm seeing things. This is fascinating. By the way, you don't even know what these pieces are, right? Control, just to remind you, hope you can always re-vote. Control is the brains. Data path is the kind of the brawn, the pipes. Control is how you turn the pipes and the knobs. Data path is the actual pipes. Memory, obviously, no. Input takes data from the input, puts it in the computer. Output is the opposite. Okay, so you're voting. Okay, stabilizing. All votes in. I received 209 votes already. This is great. All right, here we go. Keep going. 210. Keep it going. I feel like an auction guy. And no more votes. Stop. I'm going to stop this, and now talk to your neighbors. Everyone, meet your neighbors. I'll have some time for you to meet them. Talk about what you said, and try to convince them of what you voted. Go. Take another minute. All right, and scene. Okay, so now I'd like to see you vote again as a team. You have to hold hands with the neighbors, and you're voting together. You have to have the same vote. There's nobody, don't try to lie that you still vote A and they're B. You have to have the same vote. That was the idea. Ready? And go. Vote again. 145, 152. Man, oh man, this is cool. Ladies and gentlemen, don't change. Don't change. I will. But don't change. Stay the normal vote. Just keep it in. I just want to show you what happened. Isn't that fascinating? Huh? Okay, so everybody say, how many do we have now? 207, come on, go, baby. You people, 8, 208, come on, clicking, 209. Your thing turns green, I think, right, when the vote is successfully received? Okay, 210, that's it. 210 is our number. All right, stop this. Now, what's cool is I actually have, compare graphs. What does it do? Compare graphs. Question one, question two. Here we go. Question one. I'm sorry, is it overlapping? It is indeed. Question two.
Did it change much?
Wow, didn't change much. Very interesting. Here's the best part. I'm actually not going to tell you the answer. Until the last day of class. Isn't that good stuff? Huh? I love it, right? Look, okay, what part of this word don't you get? The future. There is no answer. I don't know what the future is, but I'm gonna tell you what I believe the answer to be, all right? Just to be fair. I love the, aww, I love that. It was very good. I was like, it's like there's a great commercial for Got Milk where they say we can do this the easy way and the hard way. It's like, you know, a grilling interrogation room, and he gives him a big, huge brownie, and his mouth is with chocolate. And he says, we can do this the easy way, and he holds him a glass of milk, and he goes, or the hard way, and he hides the glass of milk behind him. We're doing it the hard way. I wait to the end. All right. So, in perspective, we have to put this in perspective of how fast, how amazing the growth has been of computers, of computer engineering, folks. So Robert X. Kringley is a blogger and commentator and humorist. If the automobile had followed the same development cycle as the computer, a Rolls-Royce today would cost $100. It's pretty amazing, right? Get 1 million miles to the gallon. This is true, think about that. And explode once a year, killing everyone inside. This is actually a perfect segue for talking about some of the interesting research problems people are trying to do. We're realizing that, look, we already have computers that are fast enough for the average user, but why can't we use extra hardware, extra software, extra layers of redundancy to make it crash-proof, right? To make the data never get corrupted, to have your disks never fail. So they're actually thinking about using all the extra stuff they have, having a little slower, a little smaller disk space, but having the extra redundancy to be able to handle that and be able to address that exact problem that we're already past the point that your computer is fast enough for you to use. Come on, unless you're doing high-end rendering of massive scenes for Pixar or a lot of other big complicated financial models or scientific calculations, you probably have a fast enough computer. Why can't I use that? You know, all you're probably doing is watching a little MPEG-4 movie on Netflix or YouTube, and you're, right? Or web and an email and IMing and Skyping and Twittering. You don't need all the sites. Your computer is easily able to handle that. Why can't it use extra cycles to make it more reliable? So that's actually an open research problem. People are working on that. It's kind of a neat thing. So this is funny, but also kind of points you to the fact that, wow, you know, he's right. We should really address that issue and not just make it a joke. We're almost laughing stock for the humorous because computers, after all these many years, after all those advancements, are still unreliable, right? Who's had a computer crash or hang or do anything, have a beach ball of death in the last week? Me. Look. Why are there still hands going up? That's exactly the point of this, right? Okay, good stuff. So today is talking about number representation, but before we get started, we have to think about how you even get data into the computer. The world is an analog domain. The world is not digital, okay? There are a couple things, some things, 0 and 1, the numbers and integers are digital, but most things are analog. They're smooth, they're curvy, they're beautiful. They are not hard, angry numbers. So how do we bring analog data into the digital world? Well, this is a field called signal processing, and the idea is if you can capture that data somehow, and you can imagine here's an original analog signal, and someone somehow captures that on an analog domain, maybe on an analog tape. You have Jimi Hendrix playing guitar and his analog tape. Two things have to happen to get digital data, and it's common for all digital data. One, you have to sample it. This is a new word I've indicated here in red. If you haven't heard this word, this is just a little bit of 621C introducing to a word that you'll see, obviously, in more detail in, I believe, E20, EE20, and E120. Sampling means at every kind of regular interval, and you could also sample non-uniformly, but here's uniform sampling. At every regular interval, for example, in a CD, they sample, which means they ask a question, how loud are you? That's what sample says. Say, how big are you? That's what sample means. Every sample point. And every sample point happens every 44 one-thousandths of a second on a CD. That's a lot of times a second. They're asking, how loud are you? How loud are you? How loud are you? And that generates that kind of lollipop graph that you see there called the digital assignments of signals. But at some point, you have a value, and the value might be a voltage. Right? You're querying electrical properties, you're querying maybe how much magnetic flux there is on an analog tape. You're querying some continuous voltage. That's not digital yet. You still have digital chunks this way, but not this way. So the next step is what's called to quantize. And quantize, whoops, my mic just went out. To quantize, mic is on here. Mic is on here. Oh, help. The light's on, right? There are spare batteries. This happens every once in a while. To quantize. Nothing. No love. Can I have a TA possibly go to fix this? Okay, no. You go through that door, and then you make a right. You go to 44 Dwinnell and tell them that the 155 mic went out and there's no extra batteries there. And then they'll be able to give you one. And I'll yell. Sorry about that. I hope my voice can carry for the next minute or two. You ask it how loud it is. How about back row? Can you hear me? How loud it is? Give me some thumbs. Good stuff. How loud it is, and it might be a continuous number. What I mean is it might be some number of, there are 14.639324293 volts. And you say, well, that's nice. I have to have, again, quantizing says I'm going to have these tick marks. And I'm going to ask, okay, well, that volt maps to this many bits. You know, I can have so many bits I'm going to allocate to that. Let's say I allocate on a CD, I allocate 16 bits to that. And we're going to see that 16 bits gives me 2 to the 16 different tick marks. And I'd say, well, the volts might be from, say, minus 5 to 5. So if, example, I was a little too high in voltage, but let's say the voltage is 3 points something, something. So I'd measure here, and I would measure something in the upper regions of the minus 5 to 5 range. And I would give it an actual, I'd get my bits out of that. And I would get those 16 bits every 44 one-hundredths of a second. And that's how you get analog data to digital. Questions? How does this work for pictures? Pictures is not a single 1D signal. Pictures is kind of a beautiful, continuous thing, photons sitting around. How do we do that for pictures? How do cameras work? Sure. So that's true. Cameras have different channels, red, green, and blue. But then, I mean, you still haven't answered the question of how do I take a 1D signal for music and have this beautiful 2D world out there. I mean, it's really a 3D world, but how do I get it somehow to be digital? How do cameras work is what I'm asking. Yes, on the side. You need two axes. What are the axes, maybe? Well, not so much time and magnitude. X and Y for maybe an image plane. On the back of a CCD, a charge-coupled device, I have something that's able to read in light waves, light pattern, light amount, right, luminosity in some sense, and register for each pixel on X and Y. Are we good?
Dead batteries.
Very easy. Thank you very much. Okay. It's always fun when they leave the microphone on and they say, oh, and you hear them kind of walking all the way back for the thing. And how about that Dan Garcia? Isn't he crazy? Okay. So I put this back in. Give some love. Very good. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. So back of it, the image plane of a camera has an X and a Y, and you have some density of how small those pixels are. And for each pixel, what that pixel has done is give you that. But what you're missing still is what's missing. That's kind of sampled already. In a way, you've already sampled it onto the pixel grid, right? What's missing? Quantization, right? It's measuring some amount of photons coming in. You have to have some quantization that tells you how many bits that is in the three channels of red, green, and blue. Exactly. Good. How about movie cameras? How do they work? Same thing, except time, and what's that automatically doing for you? It's a frame rate on a camera, like on an old style camera, 24 frames a second. New cameras are 30 or 60 frames a second. So what does that mean? I have sampled in time. So the same sampling you were doing in time for music, you don't do for a picture, but you do for a movie. That kind of makes sense? Kind of cool? Because obviously, you don't do it in time because a picture, at one point in time, you've actually sampled time, but you only got one sample. And there's my X and Y. And a movie is just doing that over time. Is that kind of cool? That's how you get, basically that's all the digital data you create, right? Sounds, music, pictures. Sounds, movies, and pictures. And all of this is the same property. All of this still holds. Kind of cool. However, not all data that you have in the computer is born analog. You go to a word processor, you type a data, you type a thing. You didn't scan handwriting to get it in. You typed it directly in the computer. So here's an example of two beautiful images, obviously born on the computer. Somebody went into a program, created a model, set a light up, and created gorgeous pictures. And the projector doesn't do justice to how pretty the left one is. But I encourage you all to see this website for pavray.org. Amazing work that they've done in there. And these are examples of data that lived in the computer all its life. Never came from the analog domain. Unless there was somebody who scanned a reference image of, say, a texture of the ground and used it in some of their rendering. You can do that too. But these two apparently didn't do that. Okay, questions so far? So that's sampling and quantization. That's getting data in. From now on, we're talking about once it's in the system, how do we represent it? So we can either use So the big idea of this slide, the big idea that you're going to learn off this whole lecture, if you actually said, Dan, what did you learn off of lecture two from Dan? The main idea is that bits can be anything. You learn how to take analog to digital, and now you realize, wow, bits can actually represent anything. It's pretty cool. So if you have 26 letters, by the way, here's the key information for anything. If you have n bits, each bit is independent. Each bit has two states. Therefore, simple combinatorics tells you it's 2 to the n different possible combinations. You can think about this if you have 3 light switches, there's 8 possible. That's 2 to the 3. So that kind of works out. So 2 to the n things, definitely memorize this. This is certainly one of those kind of stamp on the arm, get the tattoo for that quote. If you want to represent characters, well, that's 26 letters. Let's quickly do that thing, 26 letters. How many bits would it be? I want you to be able to do that really, really fast. So 26 letters, quickly, 5 bits. Because 2 to the 5th is 32, and 32 is the next biggest number equal to or greater than that number. Right? It's the smallest number equal to or greater than. So if I want to do upper and lower case and punctuation, I need a couple more. And that's 8 bits in ASCII. But what if I want to do different languages? For the longest time, ASCII, you know what ASCII stands for? Standard Code for Information Interchange. So for a while, that was the standard. What's the first letter in that? American. How about that for an egocentric way to encode stuff, right? Woo! At least we label it. At least we label it, right? At least we're blatant about it, right? George Bush and others who just hired ASCII, there are other people outside of our borders. Let's consider them and think about that space. Yeah, okay. So along comes Unicode, and Unicode is an attempt to try to have a way to represent all the characters of all written languages. It's pretty cool, right? So you type some character code in Unicode, and they have different bits allocated for that. 8-bit Unicode is almost exactly like ASCII. It may actually be ASCII. We'll look at that, whether it's exactly the same in the last bit. 16 bits allows for a couple more languages, a couple more different characters, and 32 allows for a much larger set of them. If you had logical values, 0 and 1, that's all you need is 1 bit for that, which is great. That's the basis of all computers. Colors, 3 colors, that's 2 bits for that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So, here we go. Next question. Pull your voting thing out. How many bits to represent pi? All right, let's start it. Okay, don't hit. This is a silent, the first vote is always a silent vote. So here we go, the silent voting, go. Oops, should I start? Start, and start. Okay, 13, 24, 50, 68, 37, 84, 90, 102. Okay, 144, 154, keep going, I got 210, folks. So the answer, the question is, how many percent pi? 1, 9, 64, every bit the machine has, and infinity. Okay, closing up the votes, and, oops, can I close that? Compare, how do I close that? I don't want to show both, I just want to show one. And this is my current votes and stop. All right, this is what you thought. Well, let's think about it. I'm going to throw you a lot of these curveball questions. Initially, pi, a transcendental number, has how many different numerals to represent it, if you want to write it out? Just 3, right? 3.14, right? Yeah, I hope you know there's more than that, right? Okay. So 3.14 blah, 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 forever, right? You know that there's competitions to find the last digit of pi, the last known digit of pi. So you know that there's an infinite number of these digits. And they're not repeatable, right? They don't repeat in any pattern that we've found so far. That's really cool. That's what transcendental means. So what's one of the possible meanings of that? So it sounds like infinity is the right answer. So half of you are going with the right answer. Except pi is just an idea, like red. Pi and not pi. Isn't that beautiful? I didn't say the actual representation. You can do this. You can actually have a dedicated part of your number representation to be some bit pattern. This is true. That means pi. And it means somehow internally you're keeping track of the actual, you know, it's kind of the abstraction of this infinite thing, but it's like that bit pattern says that means pi. Right? Just like that meant red. And wait, Dan, what's red? Well, red is some, you know, nanometer, 450 nanometers for red. That's not, we don't care about that. We just say it's, we call it red, right? For the same reason I didn't ask you, well, what, how many bits do you want to represent 450? Maybe it's 451.634. No, I just said red, right? And you took that as given. One bit. However, he's been so cool, pi is just one idea. What if I want to represent pi and red? How many bits would that for that? One bit. It's pi or it's red. If it's one, it's pi. If it's zero, it's red. Whoops. Sorry. It's one, it's pi. It's zero. All right. No webcast. Right. All right. One, it's pi. Zero, it's red. Agreed? But if I only care about pi, how many bits do I really need? A half. Isn't that crazy? Because I'm only representing one idea, right? 2 to the n equals, right? N equals 1, and I can do 2 to, 1 bit gives me 2 things, but I only want to do one thing. So reverse the equation, it's really only about a half a bit, meaning I still have room for one more thing in that one bit. Huh? Huh? Is it a thing? Okay. I was thinking about putting a half up there, but I didn't want to kind of give that away. I thought that was kind of cool. Is this fun? I love this. I'm all over this clicker thing. So that was a curveball, but you get the idea, right? The big idea was pi is just a concept, so you can just do one bit. Good. All right. So what can you do with numbers? Binary numbers. What can you do with them? Well, let's look here. You can do all the things you do with all numbers. They just have to be in binary, just a different base. You saw this in discussion. It's the same thing as a different base. So here is the addition of 2 binary numbers, and quick, hopefully, you should be able to look at this and say, that is the hex letter A. Folks, fast. That's what I said. You want to memorize that from discussion? A. Bam. Immediately. This next guy. 7. A plus 7. In my head, I can't do that. I have to go back to binary to do the equation and then come out with that. So what is A plus 7 once you look at this? In hex now. In hex. Eleven. Right? You can say it as 11, right? It's 11 with a small 16 in the bottom of it, right? 11 base 16. So, however, what happens if I actually only have 4 bits to store? Like I have these 4 students standing up or sitting down, and that's what I'm going to be adding. You know, I had these 2 stand up, and that's my A, and this one, and that one stand up, and that's my 7. But I only have 4 things to store. How do I get 1-1 out of that? I got problems, don't I? I've somehow lost information. We'll talk about that next slide, so keep that in mind. So 10 plus 17 is, another way to do this, this is so cool, take each of these and convert them back to decimal. That's 10, that's 7, 10 plus 7 is 17. Now that I have the 17, I go back into binary, and that's 17 in binary, because that's 16 plus 1. So that all works too, it's all fluid. In fact, one of the most powerful ideas, it's so cool, you're going to learn in signal processing. I hate to kind of give this away, but it's just so good. I can't help not give it away. It's like the ending of the Titanic. You know, they all die. Okay, so the key is, let me tell you here. It's one of the most powerful ideas in electrical engineering, I would say. In signal processing, certainly, is the fundamental foundational idea. If I want to go this way, I want to go this and some operator on this, and I get some answer, and that's hard to do, it's actually faster to take this, convert it to another representation, take this, convert it, as in 10 and 7, right? You even convert the operator to another operation. You do this operation over here, in this case, 10, 7 is 17. I can do that fast. All of us can do that fast. And then convert it back, right? What I just did? In signal processing, the most powerful idea is I can't convolve. It's so hard to convolve. Convolve means smooth and smear two signals together. So what do? I take the Fourier transform of two signals, and now I have this frequency domain graph. I have some frequency power over time, or frequency over space, right? And then, here's what's cool, I multiply. The convolution operator becomes multiply. I now have this new signal, and I go back into the time domain, and that's way faster and way easier to do, and it's this really powerful idea, just as we did for binary operations. Is that cool? Good stuff, right? All right. So, how do I tell if x is bigger than y? I have two numbers, two bit patterns. How do I tell if x is bigger than y? Somebody raise their hand, because I hear a lot of mumbling. Yes, what's your name?
Ryan.
Ryan, go. Start with the most significant bit, go down. Start with the most significant bit. What am I comparing in there? Exactly. Kind of see who's, if you kind of right justify them, who has more stuff to the left, right? Who is the one farther to the left than the other guy? Exactly right. How did you know that? Well, because that's the same way we do it in other things, but also, these are encoded in the single way that, the default way you would guess, which is called an unsigned representation. This is not negative. These are all positive. How do you do negative numbers from this? You don't. So that's just all thinking about positive numbers, and that means that the biggest guy wins. That's the easy case here. It's harder with negative numbers. We'll talk about it in a moment. All right. So what if too big? That was my example I was kind of alluding to a moment ago. If I have four bits to represent that previous addition, and I can't keep them all in four bits, the addition has gotten bigger once I did addition. I have said to have overflowed. Okay? I have overflowed what I have, which makes sense, right? I was pouring into a cup, and I overflowed. I poured into four bits, and I overflowed into the fifth bit. Right? In unsigned representation, overflow wraps around the other side. It's kind of cool. So I started with this 17. 17 overflows to what? 1. It's the lowest 4 bits. That's all I had. 17 overflows to 1. So I was here, 14, 5. Actually, this is 5 bits. But I mean, I was doing the example. I'm here with 4 bits. I'd be in here. It'd be 14, 15, it would have wrapped here to 0 and 1. This is a 5-bit line, it's a little different. But isn't that cool? That's overflow. Okay? What happens if I go back this side? What happens if I'm subtracting somehow? And I subtract a big from a small. Blink, 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 blink. I go there. Is that called underflow? Underflow, right? No, that was a trick question. Not underflow. It's called negative overflow. Some people just say overflow anyway, but it's negative overflow. Underflow is different. We'll talk about that when we get to floating point numbers. But it's not underflow, even though it seems like it should be. Okay? All right. How to represent negative numbers. And, by the way, all the two last pages of your handout are Katrina's work. That's her CS Illustrated work. They are in PDF form, so you can print them as large posters. In fact, in your lab, you may have noticed we printed them as posters. Gorgeous full-color posters framed. You can go home to your color printer or a nice color laser writer and print them there. I would recommend you do that because these are gorgeous in color. I tried to keep the colors of the slides exactly the same as the color on the handouts. Unfortunately, printing 300 times 4 copies each of color is breaking the bank, so we printed black and white. But please put them at home if you actually want the real nice originals. So far we've done unsigned integers. Unsigned means you don't have a sign. You don't know whether it's plus or minus. It's an unsigned number. So that, by the way, is like C, which we'll talk about C next week. C's unsigned int, or uint with a number here, underscore T. And that number is 8, 16, 32, 64, etc. So this is how you specify it. We just saw that just now. This is, by the way, a very poor projector. You can see that it's blurring here. Those in the front row can see how bad this is. This should be a nice crisp image. I should set. Let's make a note to send them and see if we can like focus it or do something. This is ridiculous. Number one school in the country, and we get a blurry image. That's crazy. All right. All right, here we go. So what's the obvious thing we can do to make signs? Well, I have an equal number of kind. If I want to represent, here's the number line, the infinite number line of integers, and here's zero, and it goes infinitely that way, infinitely that way. I want to somehow represent an equal number of the guys left and right. So what if I stole a bit from the whole representation and use maybe the leftmost bit to be the sign bit? And that'll be kind of the invisible minus or plus, right? So if it's a zero, it means a plus, it's a positive number. If it's a one, it means a negative number. It means read the remaining digits as a negative number. So I do that. And this is what I get. 0000 to this number. And that's the biggest now positive number I can have. By the way, what was the biggest number? What's the range of this guy, of the unsigned space for 5 bits? 0 through 31. Now I go to this sign magnitude world, and what's my range now? Minus, that's a bug, I think. No, that's correct, that's correct. Minus what? Minus 15 to 15. What did you notice? What's the difference between those two things? I can't go as high, right? I was trying to get up. What if I want to represent 23? Can I use this guy with 5 bits? I can't. I can't get out there because I've borrowed that bit and I had to pay somebody else. Okay? There's a great story I always tell, and this is the moment I tell this story in 61C. There was a king, and the king wanted to know all about economics, or economics, depending on how you pronounce it. And he said, he went to his 10 wise men, and he says, I want you to summarize all of economics and return to me after a year. So they go away. And this whiteboard is all covered, and they're drafting. And they come back with a tome about 1,000 pages deep and says, we have, sire, we've just finished the last character. We have summarized all of economics into this tome. The guy says, no time. Make it smaller. Condense it more. He says, and then they go back, and their hair is getting grayer, and they're losing it. And they come back a year later, and they have a smaller manual, kind of like a textbook size. This is it. We have done it. We have compressed it down, taken the extras out. This is all of economics into this. No time. Smaller. They come back in the next year. They're more white and the thing, and they're on the back because the hand is frozen. And then they say, we have this comic book. We've created a comic book of graphic novel like Sin City, and here it is. Go. This is all of economics. No time. And they keep doing this. They come back with a single sheet of paper. No time. He said, come back. He says, sire, we have compressed it into 4 words. What is it? Ain't no free lunch. You can't get something for nothing. There's a trade-off. You can't just expand here without having to pay over here. That's exactly what we have here. I want to be able to get more numbers on the negative side of this curve. But I had to pay somebody. And what I paid is all the numbers from 16 to 31, I can no longer represent. I had to pay somebody to get something. Okay? So that's the idea that ain't no free lunch. What's the problem? I see 2 numbers here in the middle. What's the problem there? 2 zeros. 2 zeros. By the way, here's a cool idea. If I think of those 5 bits as a binary odometer, like on your car, odometer, right? As you drive, it just goes up from all zeros to all ones. What happens? Well, in the unsigned world, it goes this way, the same direction. That's pretty easy. What happens in the sign magnitude world? Goes up, and then goes back. Wait, you mean as I add bits to it, I keep getting smaller? Doesn't make sense, does it, right? Given this world, adding bits makes it bigger. Why would adding bits make it smaller? That's another problem with sign magnitude. We don't like that part of it, okay? So, problem is, A, numerical operations are complicated, 2 zeros, and the odometer doesn't do the right thing. All right? So, mini pause in Miss Trivia. Next week is intro to C, lab overcrowding. How many of you had trouble in lab This is the hand raising, not a clicking thing. How many of you had trouble in lab getting a seat and feeling crowded and feeling a space? Raise your hand if you had trouble in lab getting space. Okay, keep your hand up. How many of you had trouble in lab but were registered for that lab? So people are having trouble even though they're registered. All right, this means we have to go to Plan B, TAs, which is they all have your sections, and I didn't want to do this, but it means that people should always be sitting registered students first and then the waitlisted students after that, because that's the people who kind of got there in order, and we have to kind of go in order now. So TAs, feel free to enforce that. If your lab is free, talk to people standing and say, any of you registered? If you are, then you got to be sitting first. That's just the rule. If you're not registered, bring your laptop, I said here. And also, consider finishing the lab in advance. We're going to try to put up the labs earlier and just coming to get checked off. In fact, I will give you an extra point if you can get checked off in the first hour. How about that? Out of 4 points, you get a fifth point, right? That's not bad. TAs will get continuous access, and we're going to announce some more after-hours times. You can always log in. Officially, you're getting 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. access. There's some drop-in hours on Monday. The schedule should be right on the door for that. I'm trying to convince Instructional to try to give longer access, but they have so far said yes because of security concerns. Yes? Automatic. I'm sorry for not saying that. Card keys are automatic. Yes, good question to ask. Thank you for that. Enrollment, as I said before, in the long email, got my email, I hope everybody. Give me some nods. The email I sent out with the size of a hair and the enrollment. Yeah, it'll work out, so hopefully that'll be fine. Exams open book. People shouldn't be worrying about what's going to happen at the exam. It's going to be a fun open book thing. Just make sure you've written everything down that's there. Take all my handouts. It's all bringing everything there. Note it up. Mark it up. It's all free. Soda doors lock at this time. We have a news group, and this news group I want you to post early and often, but always read before you post on that one. By the way, I didn't show you here, iClickerSkins.com. I found this website that allows you to skin your iClicker, you know, with cool stuff. Anyway, anything for a buck, right? All right. I want to talk about some decal courses that I teach, two courses that are amazing. One is UC Bug. It's a three-unit pass-not-pass course. It teaches you how to make Pixar movies. That is crazy. Any of you have interest in making and love the animations, want to learn more, raise your hand. Say, I love this stuff. Go. Run, don't walk. We have two sections. We added a second section. Interest was so high, we added a second section. We can double now the number of people we have at UC Bug. It's crazy. So please go do that. MS-DOS-X stands for Macintosh Software Developers for OS X. It's pronounced MS-DOS, not. See, like the X is not, like the whole. It's pretty funny, not. So you program the Mac and the iTouch. I surveyed the 16 students who I took to Apple with me to give their demos to Apple executives, and I surveyed them. I said, hey guys, have any of you kind of made money on your application? They said, yeah, I made $2,000. I made $6,000 on the apps they wrote in that class. Are you kidding me? Think about this course, guys. And it starts on Monday. It hasn't started yet. So if you're interested in a Mac or programming the iTouch, come on in. I want the room to be overflowing. We have a lot of space there. No prerequisites. Okay, back to work. So we don't like sine magnitude. Let's go back to the drawing board and see what else we can do. Here's a crazy idea. What if we just inverted the bits? You're like, how'd they come up with that? Don't worry about that part. That's the historical component. All you do is, if it's starts with a 0, it's normal. If it starts with a 1, the way you figure out the value is you invert them. Let's look at the minus 7. Minus 7 starts with a 1. What value is that? I don't know. Invert it. It becomes 0, 0, 1, 1, 1. Read that value. That's a 7. That therefore must have been a minus 7. Get it? Or if you can kind of reverse the view of the world, if you think of ones as zeros and zeros as ones, meaning you're already doing the inversion, you just count the zeros and you can really immediately read minus 7. Does that make sense? Okay. So, here's what we got. Similar kind of number curve, right? We've got this thing going up, this thing here. Let's actually look at our odometer. That's good so far. We're going to see that for most of the representations. And it does the right thing. So in terms of addressing one of the issues with sine magnitude, we've already won better, right? We've kind of just flipped this around, right? In some sense, that top was the same. That's still 0 to 15. And this, we just flipped it, right? We flipped it. So now, actually, they both go forward. We love that. What's the problem still? Two zeros. I hate that. All right. So what do we do about that? It says two zeros. We don't like this. So they used one compliment for a while. They actually used it for a while because they didn't mind the two zeros. But they said, you know, we really got to get rid of this. What do we do? What do you want to do? You basically want to take this and do what with it? Shift it left and you're done, right? I mean, that should, in theory, do all the things you want with it, right? Shift it by exactly one. How do you shift that by one? Kind of weird. How do you kind of, I mean, I could take a cut and paste, scissors. What do you do? How do you do this in the encoding? Add one. It would seem like you subtract one, but in fact, because you're negative, adding one moves you away. So, this is called the signed representation or two's complement. Kind of cool, right? It's like the language C was actually the third try they had. They had a language A, and it burned over and fell into the swamp. And then they had language B, and that burned over and fell in the swamp. But language C stuck. Yeah, it stuck too. They also have a language D. I don't know if you guys have, but people have learned of C and say, what do we like about C? Let's add some cool things. And they actually have a language D out there. All right. So two's complement is the kind of second incarnation of how to do this. You essentially flip the bits for negative numbers and add one. And what that does is it slides the bottom over one exactly as we said. This is a C's int. This is also makes the hardware really simple. We love this. This is great. So here's an interesting formula for two's complement. It turns out that two's complement is so nice and so beautiful, you can actually use it as a normal formula. Your coefficients are the same bits you had before, except the leading term, rather than being the normal thing like 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1, 2 to the 2, this is how you normally decode numbers, right? You know, these four bits are, this is the 2 to the 0 column, 2 to the 1, 2 to the 2, 2 to the 3, right? Except that the top bit is a negative value. So this is 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1, 2 to the 2, minus 2 to the 3. Let's do it here. So what's the value 1101? Well, and by the way, this is a nibble. A nibble is only 4 bits, okay? Half a byte. Get it? Half a byte. And then you get it. Okay, that's fixed stuff. All right. Funny. Not. All right. So what we got here is, ready? Here we go. 1 times minus 2 to the 3. And you just put the 1. You just put the, 1. Here, 1, 1, 0, 1. 1, 1, 0, 1. 1, 1, 0, 1. This gives you minus 8, 4, and 0. Minus 8, 4, and 0 gives you minus 3. Let's do it my way. You negate it and add 1, and that must be the opposite of that, right? So let's do it. Here we go. Here's x, 1101. Negate it, 0010. Add 1, 0011, and that's now the number 3. Therefore, this must have been minus 3. Does that make sense? Let's negate 3 and see if we go back. Well, flip it, 1100, and then add 1, 1101. Guess what? Same value. So it better be the case that you add 2 minus signs to something, you get back to the positive guy if you start with a positive guy, right? So here's minus 3 to 3 to minus 3 again. And again, you can do this negation really fast. I can very quickly tell you that this is minus 3. How? Because is this a two faces or a vase? Right? It's the opposite what I mentioned before. So if you think of this as you're counting the ones as zeros and the zeros as ones, it's like you're reading it like this anyway. I just read this and I say, oh, this is 2. I read this as 2. Add 1 is 3. Therefore, this must be minus 3. Just a fast way to do that. Hope you got that one. That's a shortcut. All right? So here's the number line for 2's complement. The number line is, we still have one more question I want to be able to make sure you get the clicker stuff on. For n equals 5, it wraps around. Remember you saw the wraparound thing? This is if I make this like a circle. Because you always see wraparound, like I said, like the overflow. So I start here at 0, and I keep going, and I would wrap around back here. And I go 0, this is the 2's complement, da-da-da-da-da, up to 15, and then I wrap around. Why? Because I slid this bottom part to the left one. So I go 0 to 15. This goes minus 16. Because remember, it was like minus 15 to 15, but I slid it over by 1, so now it's minus 16 to 15. No overlap in the middle area, and I love it. And we look at this, and we look at our odometer, does the right thing. Isn't that cool? Okay, so this is 2's complement. It's what we use. Memorize this. This is from heaven, 2's complement. Perfect. Okay, stay with me. What if I blew your mind? What if I try to do something different? What if, rather than do 2's complement, as you know, in which all zeros represent zero, what's in common of all the representations? All zeros is always zero, right? What if I relax that constraint? What if I made all zeros the smallest number and made all ones the biggest number? How would that work? How would I get all zeros to all ones? Before, unsigned was what? Unsigned was all zeros to all ones, just went forward, right? But I want to get some negatives. So what do? Just slide the whole thing over. That's not, right? Did I blow your mind? I blew his mind. I love it. Okay. So all this is the unsigned value plus some bias. A bias, you'll learn in EE terms, is meaning just kind of add a constant to it. And the bias term is a negative number to slide it to the left, right? So the bias is chosen as a little complicated formula. For 5 bits, it's minus 15. Allowing me to have, watch this, minus 15, because 0 and unsigned is 0. This is minus 15 up to what? 16. So this is a little different. You get one more positive guy, but same idea. Look, same idea, minus 15 up to 16, and you cross 0 in this weird kind of halfway thing, but that's bias. Really no different, right? Not that much more complicated, but kind of cool. Let's look at odometer, same thing odometer, does the right thing, right? So it still moves forward as I go forward, so I still like this. So the three things we ever really use are 2's complement and unsigned in the computer. We're going to see bias in other contexts, but I want you to know about bias now in the context of the whole thing. Okay, last one. And we still have a minute or two. Let me see. Yes, perfect timing. All right, let us start again. How to represent how best. I haven't talked at all about kind of floating point numbers, right? How best, given the 5 ways you know, to do minus 12.75. The minus 12 means you have to handle some negatives, and the 7.75 is like, how do you do that? That's like a fractional stuff. Well, shift binary point is the following. What if I took this number, which is 1011 we saw before, right? What if I took 1011 and just, this is 11 obviously, shifted this binary point to the left 2 spots? It would become 10.11. This is the 1's column. This is the 2's column. I'll start again. 4's column, 2's column, 1's column. What's that? A half. What's 4 to 2? Half. What's 2 to 1? Half. The next one over, once you cross this point, you get a half. A quarter. Isn't that cool? So that's called fixed point. I slide it over by exactly 2 all the time, and this would be, in this case, 2.75. Okay? So that's what those two gray comments mean. I use 2's complement, but I fix it over and I slide it over. Or I use the bias, which I like because odometer is the right thing, and I slide that over. Or, how about this crazy thing? I combine 2 of the encodings in some weird way, like maybe something on the left of the point or something on the right or something weird. Or combine 3? Are you kidding me how crazy that would be? Or we can't do it. Okay? So, all right? And action. Come on, come on, give me some love. And are you guys good that if I show you the display, you won't change it while you're voting? Are you good? Because it doesn't do, I mean, you. Oh, you will, I can't trust you. You will change it, okay. You follow the thing, this pizza, oh, pizza, follow the pizza. All right, you guys are bad. All right, so I won't show you until you're done. That's too bad. Oh, yeah, look, it even tells you how many I voted here. 198, when you cross 200, I'll stop. 200 to here, I can't wait for there because I'm running late. And 210, actually, that's, whoa, good for you. You guys are, wow. I thought we only had 210. Wait, keep on coming. Bring him in for the next door. No, all right. Stop display. Look at you. Question 4. You have decided that 2's complement slid over is the best way. And that probably is what I would say if I were you. Not knowing how it's done. Do you know how it's actually done? What, just for humor purposes, what would be the funniest way to do it? No. Like, what's in the small? What's the smallest number? That's how they do it. Is that crazy? A bit. 3 different encodings in one set of bits to make floating point number. When you type float, 3 encodings take effect. Huh? For the thing? Okay. And in summary, on time again. Look at it, on time again. N bits, 2 to the N things. Big meta ain't no free lunch. Big meta, we often make some of the decisions to make hardware simple. Part of the reason we love 2's complement, in addition to being mathematically nice, is the hardware is simple because of the odometer, right? So we like that a lot. Otherwise, you're going to do weird things in special cases in hardware. Unsigned is this guy we use this for. The most of the stuff is these two guys here. Unsigned and signed, that's most of the case. you'll see bias as one of those three encodings for floats. Folks, have a great weekend. It's a privilege teaching you guys. This is a lot of fun.